In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
In this Lenten time, we are here around this altar to partake in the Eucharistic banquet to honor the infant Jesus. The Lord invites us today to come closer to Him and receive all His blessings. Our Lord is a God who forgives us, who understands us, acknowledging our weakness and wickedness, our sinful nature. We come to the Lord asking His forgiveness and above all asking His blessings for our day-to-day life, and we bring before Him all our difficulties and our problems and our intentions, that we pray, if it is your will, Lord, grant all that we have asked.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down now, because your people whom you brought out of Egypt have apostatized. They have been quick to leave the way I marked out for them. They have made themselves a calf of molten metal and have worshipped it and offered it sacrifice. Here is your God, Israel, they have cried, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. I can see how headstrong these people are. Leave me now. My wrath shall blaze out against them and devour them. Of you, however, I will make a great nation." But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your wrath blaze out against this people of yours, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with arm outstretched and mighty hand? Why let the Egyptians say, 'Ah, it was in treachery that he brought them out,' to do them to death in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? Leave your burning wrath, relent, and do not bring this disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your servants, to whom by your own self you swore and made this promise, 'I will make your offspring as many as the stars of heaven, and all this land which I promised I will give to your descendants, and it shall be their heritage forever.' So the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Loving kindness is better than life. Loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, that's where I last need. Loving kindness is better than life. The skies are telling the glory of God. The skies are telling the glory of God. My lips shall praise thee, that's where life lets me. The skies are telling the glory of God. I lift my hands up unto thy name. I lift my hands up unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee. That's where I bless thee. I lift my hands up unto thy name.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
O reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews, "Were I to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. But there is another witness who can speak on my behalf, and I know that his testimony is valid. You sent messengers to John, and he gave his testimony to the truth. Not that I depend on human testimony. No, it is for your salvation that I speak of this. John was a lamp alight and shining, and for a time you were content to enjoy the light that he gave. But my testimony is greater than John's. The works of my Father has given me to carry out. These same works of mine testify that the Father has sent me. Besides, the Father who sent me bears witness to me himself. You have never heard his voice, you have never seen his shape, and his word finds no home in you, because you do not believe in the one he has sent. You study the scriptures, believing that in them you have eternal life. Now these same scriptures testify to me, and yet you refuse to come to me for life. As for human approval, this means nothing to me. Besides, I know you too well. You have no love of God in you. I have come in the name of my Father, and you refuse to accept me. If someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe, since you look to one another for approval and are not concerned with the approval that comes from the one God? Do not imagine that I am going to accuse you before the Father. You place your hopes on Moses, and Moses will be your accuser. If you really believed me, him, you would believe me too, since it was I that he was writing about. But if you refuse to believe what he wrote, how can you believe what I say?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Brothers and sisters, I would like to make some reflections on the first reading of today. We heard the first reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 32. Beautiful insight into the relationship between God and the sinful people. We, all of us, you and me, are sinners. No doubt about it. And we have come to have a close relationship with the Lord. If that is the fact, the Word of God tells us, gives us some insight, what is the relationship between God and the sinful people. The context of this reading is, Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai, where God is telling him the Ten Commandments, and he is about to write those commandments. So, the scene that is taking place is Mount Sinai. Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai, where the preparation for the Ten Commandments is going on. When Moses and God are discussing on Mount Sinai, up on the mountain, down below the mountain, at the foot of the mountain, the people who have come from or crossed the Red Sea and come at the foot of Mount Sinai have prepared a golden calf and are celebrating. In other words, they have made their own gods. They would like to prepare their own gods, and they are the gods they want to worship, and they are dancing before these gods or the golden calf. Now, Moses is unaware of it. Why unaware? Because Moses is up on the mountain. Now, God tells him. Now, this is the scene. God tells him what is happening below. Very interesting dialogue between God and Moses. God says, if you have paid very keen attention to the text, Moses, your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have committed grave sin. God is telling to Moses, your people whom you brought out. Actually, God had told earlier that these are my people. But now when they are committed, God tells Moses, they are your people. I am not interested in them. Not only that, he gives a characterization of these people. What kind of these people are? These people are stiff-necked people. Look at the character. God is evaluating the people. They are stiff-necked people. I'm sure you understand what is stiff-necked. The neck is very stiff. Not that those who put the collar are stiff-necked people. They have got some problem in their... Stiff-necked people are, they look at only at one direction. They cannot look this side and that side. Therefore, stiff-necked people are looking at one direction only. If they want to look at this direction, they have to turn totally. But they are not willing to turn. And God says, these people are stiff-necked people and my wrath is going to burn against them. Now, the commandments are being just written, not yet given. God says, another aspect of these people are, they are very quick to commit sin. Before the commandment is given, already sin is committed. What is the first commandment? Love your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and you will have no other God. The commandment has not yet reached below. Before reaching the commandment only, people have already committed sin. You and me are very fastest to commit sin before the commandment is already given. Now, these two characteristics of the people is mentioned in the text. Stiff-necked people and quick to commit sin. Is not that yours and mine nature? How many times we are stiff-necked, though we know the reality is this side and that side, we do not want to turn. We become stiff-necked to the convictions that we have in my mind. And very fast, very eager to commit sin. God says, my wrath will burn against these people. Now Moses is frightened. If his wrath is going to burn the people who are below, to whom shall I take the commandments and give? And how shall we go to the promised land? Immediately, what Moses does is a very interesting thing. He does not see whether people have, he does not ask, Lord, why are these committing sin? What is the problem? Why have they done? Why are they stiff-necked? No questions. What does he does is, the text says, he implored before God, knelt down before the Lord and said, Lord, have mercy on these people. Up on the mountain. Up on the mountain, as soon as God told Moses, these people have committed sin, immediately he kneels down, implores and tells God, Lord, why does your wrath burn against your people whom you brought out? God had said your people, Moses is saying your people. Now Moses and God are fighting whose people they are. That is the greatness of Moses. Moses is trying to tell God, Lord, they are not my people, they are your people. And your people are weak. They cannot continue to be strong. They are failing, falling. They are your people. Why does your wrath burn against these people? Why don't you forgive them? Look, you have promised so nice you were to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Why don't you be for us also? Please, Lord. And it is said, he implored. He knelt down before the Lord. What is the conclusion? What does God do? Get up, get lost, did he say? The text says, the last sentence is very beautiful. After the imploration, after Moses imploring for the sin of the people, the text says, God changed his mind. God changed the plan he was about to execute. He wanted to destroy the people, but he changed his mind because Moses implored. Brothers and sisters, our God is a God who changes his mind. Our God is a God who lovingly changes his mind. You and me are the ones who do not change our mind. We are stubborn. We will not be changing our mind. We are stiff-necked. But our God is a God who changes his mind. And the text says, God changed his mind and did not want to execute the wrath that he wanted to execute on the people. You and me, for our sins, whatever, small or big, what will be the justification? If you and me are standing before the Lord, what is the judgment will be? What is the judgment that God will pass on us? God alone knows. No one can say what is our judgment. But one thing we can be sure from the text, if we are kneeling before the Lord, definitely He changes His mind and hugs us. That is the fact. Therefore, the reading, the first reading of the day tells us whatever kind of sinners we are, whatever sins we have committed, small, big, whatever it is, imploring. Now please note here, Moses does not implore for himself but implores for his people. So we may say that I am a good person, but my brother, my sister, he and she are sinners. The Lord tells us, implore for them, ask mercy for them. In your own family, the place where you work, you may see one person, plead for him. God in His mercy changes His mind and gives the blessings. So my dear brothers and sisters, we have today one of the most beautiful messages of the Old Testament or the book of Exodus today. Although we are stiff-necked and people and quick to commit sin, when we implore for mercy, God changes His mind and hugs us, loves us, forgives us. Amen.